We come to the fifth commandment today, and we find a big shift from commands number one to number four. It was about God, how we can relate to God. And God says this, you know, we have a void in our heart, and we try to fill that void in us with everything that we can grasp around us. That could be money, that could be fame, that could be power, that could be popularity or respect. Everything we can just try to fill that gap in us and void. God says, hey, we know, I know that you may try, but don't put anything other than me in your heart. Number two command, it says, hey, what you see, you can easily believe. Seeing is believing, and you are definitely influenced by what you see, but don't put anything in your sight to make any idols in your life other than me. Command number three, God says, hey, you know, we all falter, fail on our mistakes in our lips, and we make many, many mistakes with our mouth. But don't make any mistakes against God. And number four, it's not just in your heart thing, but you need to do and actively live out your love for God. Show me your love. What you do, what you live, and how you live every day out to be evident that you really love me. Now, those are number one to number four about our relationship with God. And then there's a big shift from number five to number 10 is about our relationship with others. Starting number five, honor your parents, establishing our relationship with our family, and it's a family thing. Number six, do not murder, and it's establishing foundation of life, and it's about life thing. Do not commit adultery, number seven, and establishing foundation of purity, and that is the purity thing. And number eight, do not steal, for that is the foundation of our security and about our life of security. Number nine, do not lie, and that is the establishing foundation of truth and this truth thing. And finally, number 10, do not covet, establishing our foundation of trust. So it's a trusting in our life. Now, it's easy to treat number five to number 10 as a simple moral code, a civil code. Oh, those are things that we used to hear from our parents, or the society demands of these things, But God's intention by giving these six commands much deeper than the basic politeness. And we want to see how these are different than the things that we understand as morals or civic codes. Difference number one, ethics versus God's design. Now, it's easy to read and think, oh, it's all talking about being a good citizen. God is telling me to become a good, responsible citizen by observing, be good to your parents, don't kill, don't lie, don't covet, don't steal. But there's a massive, huge difference when God gave these commands to us. Now, anyone, whether you have faith in God, you know and believe in God or not, anyone can know and can follow through, choose to be ethical life. You don't have to become a Christian. You don't have to have Christ to follow these moral codes. There are people who can live morally, ethically, without God. But human rules, moral codes, and civic codes are usually driven by duty, pressure, conscience, guilt. Its mindset is that we have to, I ought to. Now, God's commands, they don't work that way. It comes from outside and internally. And from internal abundance, we carry these things. God's commands overflows from within. Let me tell you an illustration about this. Let's say there's a drought, a bad, severe water shortage in a town. Two homeowners, they handled it completely differently. House number one, they relied on the weekly water delivery truck. The owner fills a plastic barrel, strictly divides the water, and they watch their use. The family will brush their teeth by a cup. They don't water the ground or the yard. They consistently check the water level, how much they have left, so they will not run out. I mean, it works, but it works out of tense, rigid, driven by anxiety. And that's human ethics. Trying to manage outwardly by keeping pressure under pressure and responsibility. And there's the second house. Now, they deeply found a natural underground spring. Fresh water from the spring comes out, you know, to the surface. And the family doesn't have to be stressed out of the water shortage. They have found the running spring that is continuously providing water, and they have enough to use for themselves and to share with others. And that is spiritual life in Christ. When our heart is connected to God through our love for Jesus, honoring others is not forced chore. It's the natural overflow of our love for our God. So if there's no relationship with God formed in the first place, the best we can live our life is ethical and moral life under pressure and pressures, responsibilities. What God has given us in this Ten Commandments is a life of honoring and loving God. And that love for God naturally overflows to those around us. We first must live a right relationship with God. And that is why God has given us Ten Commandments, number one, number two, number three, number four, about our first relationship with God first. And that ought to be done in our life, practiced, lived in our life, so that it comes to loving others and around us. So this is the difference. Without loving relationship with God, our moral and ethical life will be compulsory, obligation, and minimum, ought to and must, driven by conscience and social responsibility. But with loving relationship with God, our love and honor of God, it grows and spills over to those around us. Commands number 5 to number 10 does not become an obligation, responsibility that is chore to us, but because of our love for God, these commands will become a joyful responsibility to do in our life. Now, Jesus put it in bluntly in Matthew 5:20. Unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Have you ever thought about this? I mean, the Pharisees and the scribes, they are legalistic rule followers. I mean, they follow all minute, all detailed rules. And Jesus said, hey, unless you and your righteousness is better than them, you will never enter the kingdom of God. How? Wow. They obey regulations and rules so strictly, we can never do that. How can we enter the kingdom of God? Well, the Pharisees, they observe well, but with cold heart. There is no love for God. They do it with obligation. They do it as a responsibility. We must do not with responsibility, but with love of God, because of our love for God. And when we love God, these things, number 5 to number 10, they don't become a chore. They don't become a pressure. It becomes our love for God that is spilled over and overflown to others. That's different. Number two, handling like a treasure. You see, the Jewish tradition has that the fifth commandment actually was placed on the first tablet. Remember when Moses, God gave him the two tablets, stone tablets in his hands. And the tradition has it that the fifth commandment, honor your father and mother, is on the first commandment with four commandments about God. Now, why? To our logical mind, we would place it to the second tablet, along with other, you know, social responsibilities. Well, Jewish tradition has it that because our responsibility of honoring our fathers and mothers is, you know, doing what we love of God, and because our parents are the agents, you know, were given to us, and our parents are earthly representatives to us, given by God. So that is on the first tablet. Now, the word here used, honor, is kabad. It literally means to give weight to it or treat it as significant. The same word, kabad, is used when we glorify God. That glorify is kabad. Now, think about the difference between you have a $15 plastic digital watch on your hand versus a prized family watch passed down from your grandfather. Now, if you drop that cheap plastic watch, you'll shrug, you'll pick it up, and you'll keep on going. I mean, you know, there's no sentimental value or anything to it. I mean, you'll keep on your life. But you will handle that family watch with deep care. Not necessarily because it's luxurious or, you know, modern or flawless, but because of the value, the worth of whose it was and what it represents. Let me illustrate with another story. One day, a retired pastor was flying and traveling together with an atheist happening sitting together on a flight. Now, during the flight, this pastor's children and grandchildren sitting by a couple rows behind, they frequently came back and forth and asking the grandfather, how's the trip going, sharing some light snacks, asking if you're bored or uncomfortable. And seeing this, this atheist looked at this, you know, pastor, not knowing he was a pastor, asked him, wow, I envy you. I mean, my kids would never do that. I mean, they wouldn't even bother me. I mean, they would, you know, just stay there and do their own thing. And how did you do it? I mean, how could your kids, your grandchildren, they respect you? Sensing that he didn't know God or he was an atheist, this was what the pastor said. Well, they know that I lived all my life respecting God. And as I age, they know that I am getting closer, maturing more closer to God. And they are fully aware that I am closer to return to God. And they cherish me. And they respect me. But you know, you don't know God, the Creator. And your children will probably look at you as an aging monkey. And how would anyone respect and show respect to an aging monkey? Think about it. You know, when God tells us to honor and respect our parents, He's not asking us to pretend they're perfect. They're not perfect. But He's asking us to realize to carry the weight of representation. Our parents, our fathers and mothers are representing the Creator God. There's a weight to this command. So, treating our parents with respect and honor is ultimately an act of honoring God. Honoring parents must be rooted on our relationship with God, a right relationship with God. Life of honoring and respecting God, and then turning around honoring and respecting our parents. Sadly, however, we see family breakups, so many around us. I mean, there are families who are disturbed, who are broken, who are suffering so much, so everywhere in the world. I don't have to show you statistics, but many young children today show many behavior problems. We are alarmed. We must be alarmed of this. Some children show that, you know, they are abused. They show they're ignoring their parents, abandoning their parents, or even unthinkables against their parents. We have almost forgotten about traditional society when family ties were stronger, when we had extended families living together and was all one together. Family ties were so much more important in traditional society. And we must sound a serious alarm about this unprecedented and rapid breakup and destruction of families all around the world. Such an alarming phenomenon is not a result of altered morality or sloppy civil codes. Such problems, family problems, are not the result of collapsed ethics. The greater problem today is our right spiritual relationship with our God. They are so pervasive because too many people have drifted away from God today. We must honor our parents and witnessing all kinds of problems because society at large don't know or love God anymore. Difference number two, they say there's a direct earthly promise given to us. Now, the fifth commandment carries a unique mark that sets apart from all other commands, and that is a direct promise of earthly blessing is attached. Now, Ephesians 6:2-3, Paul says this, "Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth." Now, here's a two blessings here commanded here, prosperity and longevity. Prosperity, that you may go well with you, and longevity, that you may enjoy long life. Now, Paul here is blending two verses, one from Exodus and one from Deuteronomy. In Exodus 20, you know, what Moses said in Ten Commandments, and Moses repeats that in Deuteronomy 6. So he would bring these two so that he would just wants to point out there's a holistic, practical flourishing when we observe God's command in our life. Now, we know most promises, most spiritual promises in the New Testament, they point to our heavenly rewards when we get to heaven, or our spiritual strength, the disciplines and strength, it will make us our spiritual disciplines during our hardships. There are many promises of these, you know, contents. But here, God specifically connects our respect and, you know, love for our parents with our earthly blessing. Why would God do that? Because the home is our basic foundational block of our, you know, blessings, happiness, and society. When we respect the authority, communities will come together. Healthy homes will be created. Now, secondly, what are the practical ways to live this out in our life? First thing that we must do is to teach our young children to obey. If you have any young kids, teaching them to listen to you is not being overly, you know, powerful or authoritative. It's not about teaching control, but it is teaching them how to trust. Even Jesus, in Luke chapter 2, as a child, he was obedient to his parents. We need to teach our young ones to obey us, not to empower them over, not to be in control over them, but to teaching them how to trust. Number two, choose respect over contempt. I mean, as we age and become adult, one thing that we notice is that our parents are not perfect. We learn and we observe and we see things that our parents are less than perfect. They have their flaws. But listen to this warning in Proverbs 23. Listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old. You see, honoring them does not mean that you approve of what they have done wrong in their past. It does not mean that you just respect them because, you know, they are perfect. You see them, you may see things that you don't like or you don't approve of. But we honor them. We respect them because they are the ones who gave us life. Number three, care for aging parents. 1 Timothy 5:8, this is what the passage says. Anyone who does not provide for his relatives, especially his own family, is a betrayer of the faith. I mean, supporting our parents emotionally, relationally, and financially is one of the clearest ways to show our love for Christ and to others. There's number three difference on this command. It is completely countercultural. You see, you and I, we live this world very fast paced. Everything goes so fast. The world that pushes everything. And they push even elderly to the margins. Consider how modern culture leaves little room for elderly generations. Technological isolation. I mean, everything that we see today are so made up for the young people. I mean, essential tasks like banking, food orders, doctor appointments, utility bills, or bank statements. We all have moved on to applications or QR codes or online. Many senior elders are disoriented and dependent on their analog ways. And such a rapid, swift change leaves them behind and disoriented. Architectural barriers. Cities are built for young ones. I mean, you think about this fast-moving pace of the city life. If you try to walk the signals, hey, you realize they're short, very fast-moving signals. Benches are scarce. You know, public restrooms are scarce, making the elderly to navigate the city challenging and exhausting, almost as a punishment for the elderly. Workplace ageism. I mean, technology updates every 3, 4, 5 years so quickly. And decades of wisdom built by elderly workers, they are outdated and are dismissed. Now, we don't respect our elders anymore because they will see their experiences are outdated. Workplace, you know, there's no respect for professionals or unaged professionals. And then there's hyper-individualism. I mean, people move on to many different places. Some of you are here away from home, and that leaves the elderly back home isolated. Moving across the country, of the world for career, and it is more becoming frequent, and naturally fracturing extended families. And all the parents are left behind, unsupported, and without any support system. Now, as the followers of Christ, you and I, we're challenged to do countercultural. We are called to stand by God's commands, and we are called to be countercultural, upholding and abiding the truth of God. Romans 13:7 reminds of this: give to everyone what you owe them. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. We don't just want to simply go with the flow. We are holders of God's truth. And God commanded us to honor our aging parents. No matter how this culture is moving away or shifting against respecting our elders and parents, we must hold on to God's command. Why? God has promised to bless us to follow his commands. Picture this. Picture you're on a Sunday and the extended family, multi-generation families all together having a dinner together. I mean, on one side, there's children, and children that needs to listen to eat their vegetables, listen up, say please, and they need to listen to the parents. On the other side, there's aging parents eating together who need help navigating technology, medical bills, or walking at night. And guess what? The children are watching what you do to your parents. If children see that you are listening carefully to your aging mother who is repeating stories over and over again, but you show your respect and listen to her, the children will listen to you when they get their aged. If the children see that you would be kind to your aging father and put on the coat on them, they will give them an demonstration how to live their life when you get old. By honoring our parents today, we're not just living, serving the generation behind, but we are building a culture of our home for children for tomorrow. And that is why God commanded us we must respect our parents to show the legacy flows to our next generation. So as a conclusion, this fifth commandment is not a restrictive burden, but it's an invitation for us to live how to live a blessed life. When our heart is right with God through Christ, God's grace naturally flows through us and goes to our next generation. So would you please repeat after me this: honoring our parents is loving our God. Let's say that one more time. Honoring our parents is loving our God. Yes, may our homes, our places be where parents are treated with dignity and respect. And may we receive and cherish God's command to love and respect our parents, because we want to receive these earthly blessings in our life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this wonderful command that you've given to us. We sometimes forget about this, and we live not showing any respect to our families or parents. Give us the grace to honor them, not based on their perfection, but out of our obedience to your word. Remind us that this commandment is given as a promise to that our life will be flourished and blessed on this earth. Give us practical wisdom as we parent our children, supporting our aging parents, and building our homes centered in your love. May our families reflect your kingdom, and may your peace rest upon our homes. In Jesus' name we prayed. Amen.